First of all, what's your name?
Dorothy Moss.
Dorothy Moss. And if it's not too rude a question, when were you born? We won't tell anyone.
In 1929.
And where was that?
That was in London.
In London.
South London, yes. Yeah.
So why did you come up to Ramsbottom?
Well, my husband, in 1966, changed his job. He was offered quite a good job in this part of the world. And we had lived, actually, in Manchester many years previously, for about 18 months.
What was your husband's job? What did he change to?
Well, he was working for Rank Xerox. He was selling, in those days, it was the early days of the copying machines. And he was in charge of a team of salesmen. So he'd be like a sales manager or something. And he came up here to a business which sold accessories for car in Bury. And he came in as one of the, well, say managers, yes.
So it was in Bury. Why did you settle on Ramsbottom to move to?
Well, initially we didn't come to Ramsbottom. We came to Greenmount. And we never felt, for some reason, we never felt really comfortable there. At the back of our minds, the idea we would find a lovely old cottage. Because the people we bought our house from had actually found one. On the top of Holcombe Hill, believe it. And we said, oh, when we're very old and we retire, we shall find a house like this. And it just so happened we found one within a couple of years. And it happened to be in Ramsbottom. I wasn't really impressed with Ramsbottom, though. It seemed to be a very, very pretty black sort of town. It was very dead at the weekends. Totally different to what it is today. Because you must realise I spent half my life up here. Exactly half my life. And I've come to appreciate the difference between the north and the south, between the people and the way of life. It's even today, it's far less rushed in the north. And you have the advantage of the beautiful surroundings and lovely clean air now. Because in the old days, the air in Ramsbottom was, well, unspeakable. Mm. But yeah. Amazingly enough, what amazes me is that so many of those people born here, they're living into their late 80s, 90s, even the 100s. Mm. So I feel somehow that the human spirit is very strong up here, and their bodies have overcome their early days, shall we say, in working under dreadful conditions.
Mm. I mean, like, when was it? The late 60s that you moved here?
Yes.
You say it was
middle
like...
60s, yeah.
You say it was like black.
Absolutely black. Every building was absolutely black.
I mean, you say it was black, but the people were different. What were your impressions of the people?
They were very kind, very friendly, very interested. Because when I got to know them, I realised that many of them had never even been to London. Mm. It was just a foreign country, almost, to them. So, of course, they were very intrigued to meet somebody who actually was born in London and lived a certain part of my life in London, but not always. I lived in Kent, and I've lived in Middlesex, and I've lived in Buckinghamshire. And all these places are quite different, of course, to Lancashire, as it was then, when the mills were, a lot of the mills were still in action, and you could see the girls going to the mill with their hair and the rollers and their turbans, so they would be ready for the evening to go and have fun, you know, dancing and cinema and meet the boyfriends.
Yeah. I mean, did you actually have a job when you moved here?
No, I gave up work. When we came to live up here, I gave up work. And it was really because of that I had, because my husband was away most of the week from Monday to Friday, I was on my own, and I had to find groups there where I would meet people. So I joined the Women's Institute, the local music society, all sorts of different groups, because this area abounds with groups of all kinds, for mixed or purely male, purely female. And I found a great deal of wonderful friendship, and it changed my life completely, I think. It changed me from a little shy little girl to somebody who can stand up now and talk at a meeting, or chair a meeting. And mind you, I did go to college, and I had a week's training on public speaking, and I think that stood me in very good stead. It was worth every penny that I paid.
When you say when you moved here, there was the mills, and they were all going to the mills. What other industry jobs were there?
Ramsbottom, because it was textiles, paper, metalwork, Sims, the wireworking firm, which I understand has been here many years, is, I believe, on the verge of closing, which is, a very sad thing for Ramsbottom, for the people who work there still.
And what, like the mills, are there any mills left in Ramsbottom now?
Only the paper mills. We have two very big paper mills. They're still going. And we have a soap factory, which has been, it's a family concern, has been going for many, many years. But there are no really big mills or anything like that, lots of smaller types of business.
What sort of business industry is there for people to work in Ramsbottom now?
Well, actually, the first thing that sprang to mind was the waste industry. Because your banana is very strong. And, of course, transport industry. A lot of big transport lorries. We have one very big firm, TNT.
Road haulage, you mean?
Yes, road haulage. That's the word. You never can you?
No, you can't.
Yes, yeah. We have quite a lot of that. And also we have carpet manufacturing, which is a very big thing, yeah. Yes.
I mean, do a lot of people, travel to Manchester Bury for work, like the dormitory town or...
Well, I'm not too well up on that side of it, but I believe we do have quite a lot of industry in Ramsbottom still to keep our work people here. And, of course, Bury, they were going to Bury, which is not very far up the road, is it?
No, true, yeah.
I expect the odd few going to Manchester, they're bound to, aren't they?
Well, yeah. Yeah. Just changing the subject slightly, the Heritage... Ramsbottom Heritage Society, is that the correct name?
Yes, it is.
I didn't want to get it wrong on the tape. Right. I mean, when was that founded?
Well, actually, I just put you in the picture because before the Heritage Society was formed, we did have a local history society here which ran for 10 years. Mm. Initially, very, very successful. Mm. And then, because I think mainly problems with a venue, it fell away. I was on the committee in that particular society, and I'd always wanted and hoped that we could get something else going. And then, 17 years later, an opportunity came. We had news that the East Lancs Railway was going to open up the line for weekends. And the local MP, he's no longer our MP, but anyway, he was very interested. He said, he wrote a letter to the newspaper, and he said, why don't the people of Ramsbottom jump on the bandwagon and take advantage of this? I wrote a letter. I was a great one for writing letters in those days. I had a lot more time. And I said, come on, let's get together. And I went out and hired a hall and distributed posters everywhere. And on the most dreadful night you can imagine, about 80-odd people turned up. So I figured, well, this is interesting. And I called for people to form a committee, and a month later we chose our name, we got a constitution going. That was in 1987, and we're still going strong. Our main aim, or one of our aims, was to get a heritage centre, because even at the early date, many, many artefacts and archival items are coming. And we wanted somebody to store them. It was no good putting them under somebody's bed, as if they'd done that. And we happened to speak to one of the local councillors, and we found that we have now a very good rapport with the local council, and they've always helped us, with this sort of thing. Found this building, which has become redundant, and is an old library building.
Oh, right.
And after we'd only been in existence for 3 years, we found that we were the proud, I won't say owners, because we rented from the local council, but we found that we did have a heritage centre. And we opened from Easter to Christmas. We had a display team, and in those 3 months, sort of blank, as it were, about the year, we get together and we decide a theme, and we just get our theme display going and get some publicity going. We open up at Easter, and some weekends are exceptionally busy, others not quite so busy, because it's all run by volunteers, all volunteer help. And it's a wonderful place to meet long-lost friends. Quite amazing, almost every weekend somebody will come in, and somehow they'll turn around and find someone they haven't seen for years or... just by a chance conversation, talking to perhaps somebody who's born and bred here, who's perhaps helping, they say a name and it instantly it recalls somebody. And the pleasure this gives, not just for the people who found their long lost friends, but us as a society to see this happening, is really a wonderful thing. We kind of feel we're putting people in touch.
And you do okay finding enough volunteers for weekends for that time?
It's not always easy. No. We have had to close on the occasion of Sunday, which we're very sad about, because we do know that some people might have made a special effort to come here, and it's a bit daunting to come and see a sign on the door, closed due to lack of helpers. We're constantly asking at our monthly meetings if we have a civic hall here in Ramsbottom, and we get quite good publicity in the local papers, local history magazines, which come out from various societies around here, and we've kept this centre going now for 11 years. So I think we're doing quite nicely, but we could always do with a few more. Yes, very much so.
I mean, how many members does the society have?
We have about 150. Now, they're not all local. A fair size minority live well away from here, some of them even abroad, Australia, South Africa, America. And they're mostly people who had their roots here, who visited, have come in to see us, been, I assume, impressed with what we do, and have decided to join us.
Yeah.
And so every member will get, quite obviously, their programme card, their membership card, but they also get two copies a year of our news magazine. And this magazine really contains articles written by our members, mainly sort of nostalgic items about various aspects of their childhood life in the church, the business life, whatever.
Yeah.
And little snippets of what's been going on in the present time, as it were. And it proved very popular, and it's been a model, really, for some other local history societies to start their own magazine. So we're very, very, very pleased about this.
Yeah, I mean, like, you just, sorry, it might be a rude question, this, but you say, like, you rent this place, you've got new displays every year and that. Yeah. I mean, that all costs money. You do all right for...
Well, we're very, very fortunate. We do get a grant from the local local authority, and that will cover lighting, heating, water, the utilities, that sort of thing. We have to pay our own phone bills, and the... Because we are a charitable society, I think we got we were going for about 7 years when we did get a charitable status. We rates on this building are paid for. But I mean, apart, without all that, of course, we just simply couldn't go on. We have that much money in the coffers.
Yeah, that's what I said. It was a bit of a rude question, was that?
But, I mean, our money really mainly comes from the South and from the things that we sell here in the Heritage Centre.
Yeah.
And there are things like, obviously, our news magazine, walking leaflets, local history books. We have printed several of this type of book ourselves, which we're very proud of indeed, particularly our one called Around Ransbottom, which has the most lovely old archive pictures and an excellent text, which was put together by the then two archive officers and our president, Mr. Andrew Todd. He also edits our magazine, and we really are very indebted to him, because he really was one of the founder members, very, very keen to see the society succeed.
Yeah, how many visitors do you get here? I know it's a difficult question to answer.
It does vary very, very much. I mean, for instance, at the end of May this year, we tied in with the railway, who were putting on a 40th weekend. So we did Ransbottom of War. We put up various displays. And we had so many people here that we were quite nervous that we, you know, might be possibly contravening health and safety.
Right, yeah.
But, of course, that doesn't happen every weekend.
No.
And some weekends, very few people would come. But the people that do come very much want to come. They have made a special journey, many of them. Although, I mean, quite obviously, many of them are local. You can almost walk here, I suppose. And a lot of people come in from Bury on the steam train. I estimate we would probably have, in the few weekends that we're open, we'd probably have around about 3,000 people coming in.
That's quite a lot, that, isn't it?
Well, it's quite reasonable, yes. But they tend to come in batches, you know, a few here and there, for these special weekends when everybody, knowing it's whatever's on just for that weekend, they just, we must go there.
Yeah. Well, yeah, I think it's a good thing. I know you're slightly different to a local history society, but not many local history societies have this sort of facility.
Oh, no, we're tremendously lucky. I mean, I don't know why we've been singled out to be so lucky. Maybe because we've been seen as very, very enthusiastic, very, very into local history, and wanting to preserve what there is of Ransbottom. We are actually a recording society. We are recording the present and the past for our future Dorians. And this is really what we do.
Yeah. I mean, you're lucky also to have a council that's so pro you. Unlike a lot of councils. Sorry, perhaps I should erase that from the tape anyway. I won't name any. Sorry, I mean, just going back to like when you first came to Ransbottom, I don't really know what to ask you. It was like there was far more like industry, said the mill, the textile mills.
Mm-hmm.
And how many mills were there, do you know?
I know in the 1930s that there were 33 mills between Ransbottom and Stubbins, which is only just a couple of miles, and they were all types of textiles. There would be towel mills, and there would be mills that did spun very fine fabric, shall we say. Other mills which would print exceptionally fine hand-printed materials. I would think, I'm not an expert on that thing, but I would think that Ramsbottom has been, certainly within living memory, a fairly good employment record. Well, I mean, when I first came up, of course, obviously, there were lots of little things in this area, or in the north, shall we say, that were different in some ways to the south. Names of things, for instance. You wouldn't go into a shop and ask for a roll or a bun. It would be a muffin. You see, and muffins in the south are more of a sweet thing rather than a plain thing. And lots of things like that. I remember having a tremendous argument in a pub one night, asking for ham and eggs. Now, my idea of ham and eggs is cold-boiled ham and a soft-boiled egg broken over it. But of course, I understand up here, ham and eggs is a gammon, a grilled gammon, with a fried egg.
Yeah.
So it was little things like that that were different. And they were different, but they were very interesting, very fascinating. I mean, we used to have in those days the Wakes Weeks. I mean, it's only fairly recently the Wakes Weeks have stopped. And of course, everything stopped. Everything in areas, in going areas. And you would have to walk down for your newspapers. The newspaper shop was closed and you didn't get a delivery. There might be a baker's open for a few hours. Your milk would still be delivered from the farm. I mean, that was very fortunate. Yeah. If you wanted any specific shopping, you would have to go perhaps to Bolton or up the valley to, say, Rottenstall or somewhere like that, because their Wakes Week would be different. So all that was very intriguing, and we couldn't understand why the children would have the two Wakes Weeks off, go back to school, and then leave school and have this long summer holiday. It must have been it must have upset the curriculum somewhere, I would have thought, anyway.
I mean, when were Ramsbottom Wakes? Which weeks were they?
They were generally, by the time we came to live here, the first 2 weeks in July. And sometimes we got sun, but very often we got rain.
Yeah. Yeah. Well, we're just starting Wakes Weeks next week.
Oh, really?
Well, it's the 30th today,
yes,
isn't it?
Yes.
Yeah. It's Wakes.
I can't believe it.
We're on
July,
holiday.
July. What? I can't believe it.
What am I doing here in Wakes? Yeah.
Yes, you see, and that's all these traditions have sort of gone out of the window. Lots of little things. They often come to my mind. I think, oh, we don't see that nowadays. And you don't see the elderly people sitting on their doorsteps chatting to each other if it happens to be a warm, sunny little day. And that was, to me, a lovely friendliness. And also I remember the first Christmas we were here, we were tremendously impressed that every window, virtually every window, would have little fairy lights in the window, maybe a little tree. And this was so lovely and welcoming. This was, to me, part of the northern character. And also what I loved about it was the lovely, dry humour of the North. Tremendously. I was very intrigued the way they spoke in double negatives. Like, did she not? That sort of thing.
Yeah. Yeah.
I had to get used to that. But, yes, the people were lovely to me. As I say, my husband was away from Monday to Friday, and I went in, I took up yoga, met lots of lovely people that I still know after all those years. We've all got a lot older, a lot stiffer. We don't stand on our heads anymore, I know, but we still meet each other, lunch times a year with my old tutor, and let me put it like this. I would never think of going back to London to live, although I do like to go visiting a couple of times a year.
Because we're far nicer up here.
I think you're great. I think it's a wonderful far away. And when I've been to London visiving my sister, who lives down there, when I get, say, I suppose about Sheffield, and I look up and I see the hills starting, and I think, I'm home. And it's a wonderful feeling. And I've yet to trace anything in my ancestry that links, you know, the earlier family to the north. It's all been East Anglia and London area. So that's sort of a mystery that must remain a mystery for the time being anyway. So I've got the time to research a bit better.
Do you still have wet walks in Ramsbottom?
Not on such a big scale as they used to. Although I have heard they would like to try and revive them a little more. The churches in Ramsbottom are quite, I think they're quite strong. We have lost one or two churches, but we've had a beautiful new one built in Ramsbottom, and the old building has been turned into very tasteful flats. And the new building is not just a church, it's a community. Well, I mean, I know a church is a community, but they have a community room. And my music society meets down there, and it's a very, very pleasant church to go to. And they, you know, I think they rather hope so to get in more younger people. certainly that is Christchurch and at St Andrews. They're very keen on getting young people. Because, you know, your future is with the young, isn't it? We appreciate this with the Heritage Society. Although the majority of our members are middle-aged and elderly, if we don't get the youngsters in, you're finished, aren't you? I think this applies to every society that I'm in, really, that you can almost think of. I think it's true that most young people have got so many things to do, especially today, haven't they? And it's probably not until you get to your 30s that you start, you've got family responsibilities and you start to sort of think more seriously about things, you know?
Yeah. I mean, if there is nothing, I mean, that's fine, it's no problem.
Well, the only thing that I'm there is that I'm most grateful to all our helpers and to those who formed the society, the small, enthusiastic form of the society, and have kept it going all this time. And for some of us, it's become our life. I don't think it has with me. My husband says this anyway. He says, you think more of your society than you do of me, you know, when he's in a back sort of thing.
Yeah. I won't ask if you do.
I would rather like to be two of myself, you know, so that I could do to ask about it. But yes, it's given me a great focus on my life, I suppose. And it's been so fascinating to meet local people and to speak to them about their lives and to realise it's been, in most cases, totally different to my own. And it's wonderful to have an insight into the way other people, you know, live and what they do and what they feel about things. And now I feel very privileged to be the chairman of this society. I did, about 12 years as a secretary. As I was chairman.
Promotion.
Promotion,
but I thought it's all right as chairman. I mean, you just tell other people to do things.
Well, I do try to delegate, but yeah. I'm one of those people who I like to have my finger on everything. And it's very, very difficult sometimes to, you know, you delegate and yet you find yourself intervening, you want to find out. It's very bad, if only you could be totally distanced from it all.